Hello, Baker McKenzie welcomes you to Connect on Tech, a global podcast series covering legal developments on data, technology, privacy, and security that impact your business. I'd like to introduce you to your host, Harry Vallette.
Well, welcome one and all to Baker McKenzie's Connect on Tech podcast series. Today, we're going to be talking about privacy notice obligations. And I am so thrilled to be here with my colleagues, Francesca Gaudino in Milan and Michaela Nabel in Frankfurt, to talk about some of the obligations, some of the developments that we're seeing with privacy notices. Obviously, privacy notices are a very familiar part of any program and obligations in the data protection space. And sometimes we can start to really relegate them and think that they're really not important. We don't need to pay a lot of attention to that. A lot of websites, a lot of companies already have them. But we're seeing an increasing tick in interest from the regulatory community and from companies globally. And so we thought it would be a good opportunity just to have a refresh here with us as part of this conversation. So let me just put the question and maybe begin with you, Francesca, if that's okay. Thank you for joining us, Francesca. But wanted to ask you the question, really, are privacy notices still important, especially among, you know, the complex and the element and the fundamental nature of the notices themselves? And if you think of, again, transborder data flow security, how do they fall into the big scheme of things? Are they still important?
Thank you, Harry, and hello to everyone. And I mean, to your question, yes, actually, even if sometimes underestimated, privacy notice is still a key element to consider. And it's interesting that we have seen recently some fines issued only because the privacy notice was not complete or not enough clear. And so not honestly big figures in terms of money, but still an indication that the privacy notice is an important part of the privacy compliance package.
Yeah, that's a great point because even though we may not see necessarily a large fine, any attention from the regulatory community about your program is really unwelcome, right? We really don't want data protection authorities coming into our environments about something as basic in some ways as a privacy notice, but at the same time, increasingly important. So from Michaela, from your perspective in Germany, and you know, also thanking you for joining us here today, what are you seeing? What would you say to our friends on the line?
Yes, thank you, Harry. Well, I agree that privacy notices are important, not least because transparency is one of the data processing principles under the GDPR. And the GDPR contains a catalog of elements that must be informed about. We also see enforcement for violations against the transparency requirement in Germany. So, for example, last year, one of the German data protection authorities imposed a fine of 900,000 euros. On a company for not sufficiently informing customers. And in its press release, the Data Protection Authority stated that the fine does not refer to the data processing activity as such, i.e. the matching in this case, but only the insufficient information. And they explicitly stated that the amount of the fine should be a warning for all companies to not neglect its transparency requirements.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I spent many years in-house before joining, and I remember you have so many things going on inside a data protection office and a data protection, you know, team. If you're dealing with cybersecurity incidents and new laws coming out and Schrems 2 and some of the enforcements, it's just an easy thing to maybe think it's covered and overlooking. Would you say just very quickly to a question to both of you, how often would you recommend data protection officers review privacy notices? Would you say once a year, once every couple of years, once every 6 months? I mean, do you have a sense or thought for that?
I think in a good timing would be probably every 6 months. But of course, if something happens in the company, like new processing activities, new projects, then you have to review the information more often.
Yeah. What about you, Michaela? What are you seeing in Germany? How often would you say companies should be looking at their notices?
Yes, I agree. Also on a regular time. And it depends probably also on the processing activities that are taken within the company. In addition to that, what Francesca just said, that of course, if a new processing activity comes up, then it must be revisited at that time.
Of course, that's good advice. And what about, I guess, if we look at the distinctions that we need to increasingly make, right, between employee notices and customer notices? I think on the customer side, that's certainly something that's been around a long time, and there's a lot of experience and discipline around the customer facing notices. In the U.S., I think we are still just getting to the place where we're focusing on the employee side of the privacy notice, and thanks to laws like here in California and other states that are proposing more, like New York, disclosure of monitoring activities for employees. What would you say just on that dynamic between the employee and the customer privacy notice? Francesca, if I could start with you.
Actually, they are, at least in Europe, they are both complex, because on the employment side, usually you have a higher amount of data processing going on. As you just mentioned, there's the issue of employee monitoring as well. On a customer side, you usually have like marketing and profiling activities, which are somehow risky from a GDPR perspective. But there are like some common features. So main points of attention should always probably be the definition of data retention periods, which sounds, somehow like strange or unusual, but we have seen like fines because the data retention period was not clearly indicated. So you can't really just get it out saying, I'm going to keep the data unless I need it. You have to specify this period. And then the identification of the right legal basis, and of course, the extent of sharing of data with third parties, which I think it's an issue also in the US.
Yeah, and it's really such a challenge, because on your last point about data retention and the duration of that, right, a lot of data protection officers struggle with being too specific because of an unwillingness to be transparent, but because of the concern, the risk that you may be inaccurate, right? There could be legal hold obligations, there could be disruptions in your process, and from an American perspective, at least I can say, you always want to frame your disclosures and your commitments, your promises. Here in the U.S., privacy notices are considered promises. You want to frame them in a way that gives you flexibility. So that's often, that's the tension between the increasing obligations to be specific, to be transparent on retention and other things, and the language that you see kind of posted, because data protection officers need some flexibility because of the complexity of their operations. So let me pivot over to Michaela, just ask you maybe among the elements required under GDPR of a privacy notices, what are you seeing as the most difficult to satisfy for companies?
So the most difficult is, based on our experience, usually to identify the right legal basis for processing. Often the privacy notice is like the starting point for identifying the right legal basis. Another difficult aspect is typically the details of the data flows in terms of data sharing with other controllers and processors. But also, as you just mentioned, providing clear and plain language is sometimes a challenge while still being specific enough.
That's the tension as well, right? Because a lot of the regulatory guidance, a lot of the marketplace survey and guidance demonstrates that consumers want things that are simpler, not more complex, right? Because they don't want to read a notice that looks like it has a lot of legal jargon in it. But when you're trying to include all the required legal elements, this really starts to look like a like a document only a lawyer would read, if I could say it that way. What about in the online space? If I could pivot to Francesca, it's often easier, right, to play with the format through layered notices and what, you know, a user could see if they click on it. How does a company manage through that in the online offline environment if you don't have the benefit of the web technologies in front of you? What are companies doing for offline privacy notices, Francesca?
Yeah, that's a big, even a probably a bigger tension. And we see different solutions, but generally speaking, it's really key to having like clear paragraphs so the reader can understand, I mean, can differentiate one part of the notice from the other. And again, as much as possible, plain language and avoiding legal jargon, even if that's, we still have to understand how exactly to avoid legal jargon at all.
Yeah, that's always going to be a challenge when lawyers are writing these notices, because that's what we speak is legal jargon. I think in the US, I don't know, do you see that also in the EU? We see the offline privacy notices more for the employee space because of that population and how companies sometimes communicate with them. Is that what you're seeing as well in Europe?
It really depends, because in some cases you need like a paper privacy notice also for customers when there's no way you can contact the customer online, or when the first point of contact is offline, and that's when you have to provide the notice. But definitely for customers, as much as possible, you try to use the digital environment, which is not the case for employees.
Yeah, and for maybe also sustainability purposes, it's always better to put that in a digital format. And so kind of lastly here, as we reach the end of our time together, what about language requirements, Micaela? This is something that sometimes can be overlooked in a process, right? If the company is based in the U.S. And trying to globalize and deploy something uniformly, maybe there's a inclination to just deploy the notice in English. What are some of the language requirements that you should expect to see as a company when it comes to the privacy notice, Micaela?
Yes, so translations should be kept in mind. There's guidance in the EU stating that a translation of the privacy notice should be provided where data subjects speaking another language are targeted. Thus, in the privacy notice, in many cases, has to be provided in the local language.
And when you say targeted, just very quickly here, because obviously the internet is available to anyone in the world, what kind of elements should a company keep in mind when trying to determine if they are in fact targeting? Is it because they have employees in that jurisdiction? Is it because they're selling in their local currency? What elements would you highlight to consider whether you're actually targeting?
Yeah, so for the website environment, for example, if you have a web shop that is addressing and selling to German customers, then it's addressing customers or consumers in Germany. And with employees, you should usually look also in what language the other documents are provided. So, for example, the employment contract. And this is typically provided in German language, for example. Then also the privacy notice should be in German.
Wow, really great advice. I think this brings us to the end of our time together, but this has been a really helpful discussion. I want to thank again my partners, Francesca and Micaela, for helping us and joining us in this conversation. I also want to thank all of our listeners for logging in. Please stay tuned for more podcasts as we come together and bring subjects for you to consider and review. Thank you again from all of us. Farewell.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast when we connect on tech. For more information on data and technology, subscribe to our blog at connectontech.com or visit our website at bakermckenzie.com.